Talking of crime, aficionados of the genre will know the name of my next guest. Harlan Coben is the author of over 30 novels, several of which have been adapted to television and movies. The Strangers, The Five, The Stranger, actually, The Five, Safe on Netflix, No Second Chance and Just One Look for French television. Tell No One became a French movie. 75 million books in 44 languages. His latest novel is The Boy from the Woods. I asked Harlan Coben where he was.
I am in New Jersey, right outside New York City.
And are you going to be staying there for the foreseeable?
It looks like, yes. Look, we're batting down our hatches.
Yeah, yeah. Well, would you be off on a book tour if it weren't for the COVID-19?
Yes, I canceled it. My book came out Tuesday, so I was heading on the road. Today's Thursday, I would be in, I think, Denver, Colorado. Oh, no, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
No book tour. Goodness me. How are you going to keep body and soul together?
You know, there has to be some silver lining to this.
What? Not going on a book tour?
Yeah.
It's a good time not to be in the travel business, which, of course, you started out in, did you not?
That's very true. I was a Club ABC Tours, so the travel company. I used to send people all over the world. I would not want to be in that business now. Didn't really want to be in that business then.
You didn't?
Well, no, I really wanted to be a writer.
It was a family business, yeah. Right?
Yes. So it was something I was doing while I was trying to make my bones as a novelist.
So you were writing all the time you were working for the travel firm?
Yes, I was writing. I actually had a book or two published while I was there. The business kind of fell apart, and I was forced to leave, which was a good thing. I kept saying, one more year I'll work, and then one more year. And I really focused on the writing and created my own Bolitar. And the rest is quasi-history.
Well, Myron Bolitar, of course, owes his existence to your expertise in basketball, does he not?
To some degree, yes. I would not say expertise, but I was not nearly as good as Myron. But yes, I played college, university basketball. So that's where part of the idea kind of came from, taking a little bit of writing what I know.
But aren't you a member of the New England Basketball Hall of Fame?
Yes.
That sounds quite flash.
It does, doesn't it? My wife's actually in it also, which is interesting. But I was put in under what they call the, quote, scholar-athlete category, which I think is a division they created for somebody who's neither.
Oh, neither a scholar nor an athlete. They also-rans. It's nice that they've got a special place for those. Your first novel, I don't think that it was a Myron Bolitar novel, but it was about a basketball star, wasn't it? Play Dead.
It was. Part of it took place in Australia, so not too far from you. Well, far from you. But
getting further away every day.
That's right, floating away. Yes, it was. I wrote two books that were with a small press, did not sell massive numbers or make massive, did nothing really. And then I moved on to the Myron Bolitar series. And my first New York Times bestseller was Tell No One, which came out in 2001.
And Tell No One became a French movie, didn't it?
It did. In fact, if you're sitting at home and you're not doing much, and you're besides reading, hopefully you're reading The Boy from the Woods. But if you're if you're in the mood to watch something and you're looking for something a little off the beaten path, Tell No One, the French movie, had a 90-something% rating on Rotten Tomatoes and all of that. They did a really great job with it in France. You have to watch subtitles, but that's fine. I do recommend it. Guillaume Canet directed it. He did a very nice job with it. I was very happy with what he did.
This is after we've binge-watched The Stranger, is it?
Well, after you've binge-watched The Stranger on Netflix, yes. And after you've also binge-watched Safe, which is also on Netflix. So I'm giving you 2 8-episode shows on Netflix. And one of your networks, I don't remember which one, I think, has also a show I wrote called The Five. But at least definitely The Stranger, which is the new one on Netflix, And if you put my name into the search engine, they should all pop up for you.
I'll talk about your association with Netflix in a minute, but what is it about your books that attract the French in particular?
I don't know. Maybe they're better readers? I don't know. I'm not kidding. I don't know. You know, the books are in The Boy from the Woods, I think, will be published in 44 languages. So there's not too many spots that, you know, it's not in. France is one of my biggest countries, I'm proud to say. But I see the early report I just got was doing beautifully in Australia and New Zealand, too. So I'm happy to be there as well.
Well, it's escapism, isn't it? Crime writing is escapism in a strange kind of a way from the plight we find ourselves in at the moment.
Yeah, I think you want something that's, you know, I hope The Boy from the Woods is that book that just takes you away for a while. I hope it's, you know, it's entertaining and it moves you and makes you think, but in a different kind of way. And your world disappears and you're in the world of The Boy from the Woods. That's my job. I used to joke or say, I wanted you to take the Boy from the Woods to bed at 10 o'clock, say, I'm just going to read for 15 minutes. Next thing you knew, it was 4 a.m. Now I just hope, you know, during your day, you're reading it and you can just kind of escape from your troubles a little bit.
Is this the beginning of a new series starring The Boy from the Woods, Wild?
Yes, I don't know. I mean, the book I'm writing now is not Wild, but it's the first time with writing The Boy from the Woods. Wild is the first time that I've written the book since Myron Bolitar, and I said, I'm going to revisit this guy, this series character. You know, man plans, God laughs, as we learned this week. But we'll see. You know, I do plan on it. I hope that people react to him as strongly as I think they're going to. And then I'd like to bring him back.
Interesting to see. She's a septuagenarian, I think.
Yes.
Woman with a romantic life.
Yeah, well, I thought it'd be interesting. Hester Krimstein she's 70 years old. She's an attorney in New York. They're quite famous on TV. And I've had her in a small character in a number of books, and I wanted to give her more of a story. So when this kid goes missing, her grandson asks her for help, and then she goes to Wild. So the two of them team up. I have a 35-year-old guy who pretty much lives in the woods and a 70-year-old city-dwelling lawyer who share a tragedy in their past. And I thought it'd be fun to give her a romance. We don't see that often enough in books. But of course, as we know, as we get older, there's another thing that philosophy has sort of lived by, which is that we are always 17 waiting for our life to begin.
The Boy from the Woods is clearly, I mean, excuse me if I've got you wrong, a commentary on a Donald Trump-type figure. Rusty Eggers, heading for the presidency, wants to tear down everything you and I cherish. Is that a leap too far, or were you thinking of Donald Trump?
Well, it's not Trump, no. It's not a right-wing or left-wing kind of a thing. It's the idea of the cult of personality. It's the idea of believing in any person more than you believe in your system or your rule of laws. And that's, historically speaking, always been dangerous. It's also talking about extremism, be it right-wing or left-wing extremism. The book talks a little bit about what's called the horseshoe theory of politics, and that is, as when he goes too far to the right and too far to the left, those become much closer together than the center. In this world with social media and what we've seen, my books are modern. They reflect what's going on in society today. So, you know, we see with how easily people are manipulated and lied to and deceived, fake news, if you will, on all sides. So it's not necessarily something I'm going to lecture anybody on, which I'm not, part of the story. But it's sort of a really right place to place an exciting, thrilling, stay up all night kind of story. And it also reflects what's going on, which is, you know, what I do.
And the Me Too movement gets a showing as well, doesn't it, to some extent?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, again, everything I'm doing, like in this book and the last book, It dealt with viral videos and these new ancestry DNA websites and the current political climate and how, you know, and bots online and all the things that you and I are facing as part of the story. But it's just because it's the backdrop. If I was writing a story in the 1940s, I would be, you know, you have whatever's going on in that era. But during the 60s, you have the revolution going on, the flower power and that sort of thing. So that's just what we're living with now. You know, people sometimes will ask about the technology in the books. I don't really know much about cutting edge technology, but I know if you go on a date, you're going to Google the guy's name. That's if you don't do that, it's unrealistic. It's like not having a phone or electricity. So I'm just reflecting, you know, what I've seen.
Yeah, The Stranger couldn't function. The plot of The Stranger couldn't function without the internet. And because it, you know, it plays a major part in propelling the elements forward. And it's interesting to think about how the internet and the mobile phone has changed everything in terms of plot devices, hasn't it?
Yes. I mean, in the first time they invented the phone, I remember those old movies when they used to remember the scene when they would be calling on the phone and you'd be watching the phone ringing and the person, please answer. Well, you can't do that anymore, of course, because people have used their mobile phones. But it's just reflecting whatever it was. If you were driving a horse rather than driving a car, that's just what they do. Since my books are contemporary, they're right now, I got to kind of reflect whatever is going on now, which is frankly easier research than trying to figure out what exactly was going on in 1954.
In The Stranger, the Netflix series, it's nice to hear Bruce Springsteen's Dancing in the Dark on that soundtrack, huh?
Yeah, well, a little shout out to my Jersey boy. I was very excited that we could use that track in the first two episodes. And
he's declared himself a fan of yours, has he not?
That I can't say. No, I know Bruce a little bit. We've met a couple of times. He's always been very, very nice. I can't speak for his fandom or not, or how much he's read, but they did let us use the song, which is unusual. He doesn't normally allow his songs to be used on TV shows, so I take that as a good sign.
Nice. How did you get Jennifer Saunders to do what is her first dramatic role?
You know, I asked her. Everybody said that when we first were looking at, you know, they give you a list when we do casting. You know, you say you want a woman between the age of X and Y, and they give you a list of 50 actresses. And one of them was Jennifer Saunders. This happened to be in a list. And I said, well, what about Jennifer Saunders? She'd be perfect for this role. They said, well, she's never done a drama. She's impossible to get. Like, but we don't know. So I wrote her a letter, how much I love her work, how perfect I thought she'd be in this role, how much fun we would have. And I sent her the script, and she called back saying, yeah, I love this. Let me do it. So there we go.
And she's good, right?
She's great. You know, I needed a character for Heidi who is instantly likable, instantly your friend, a little quirky, owns a kind of erotic bakery. And that just fit Jennifer to a T. And she's really good in it. You kind of forget, you know, all the characters, the Ab Fab and all of that she's played before. She really does a great job. I was really happy with her. And she had a blast. And it was really interesting because the first day she's filming with Siobhan Finneran, who you may know from Downton Abbey as the maid O'Brien, and she's a bit villain in that, and she was in Happy Valley, great actress. And Siobhan says to me, oh my God, I'm so intimidated. Jennifer Saunders is my hero. And Jennifer Saunders comes over and goes, oh my God, I'm so intimidated. Siobhan Finneran is like the best actress in the world. So it was kind of cute that they were both like a little nervous about each other.
Did you get to choose the cast? Did you choose Siobhan Finnegan as well? She's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I work with Nicholas Schindler at Red Productions. She and I, and we have a team, Danny Brocklehurst and Richard Fear, two members. And we, you know, we decide as a group, all of it. So, yes, when we started to bandy about who would be perfect to play the Joanna, actually the first name that one of us came up with, I can't remember who, was Siobhan. And we all jumped on board if we can get Siobhan. And I believe she was the very first person that we cast on the show. She said yes right away, so I think Siobhan came first, and then Richard Armitage came second, and then we started filling in the rest of the pieces.
It's a very complicated plot, The Stranger. I find myself thinking I'll have to watch another episode in case I forget what happened in that last one.
Yeah, no, it's meant to be binged. This is not a show. I would have done it very differently, actually, if it had been on terrestrial TV once a week. I think you'd have to have done it differently, or at least you'd have to have one of those reminder things in the beginning of each episode, because there is a lot going on.
That's the theory. So that's part of the theory of how you get people to binge watch is to make it so complicated that people are terrified of forgetting where they are.
Well, not exactly, but we want to keep it moving. I mean, you know, these different shows are built different ways. The Stranger is built to be a powerhouse, to really grab your attention, make you forget everything else, make you shake your head, make you jump in surprise, make you gasp. You know, The Stranger is meant to be that way. It's shocking how many people have seen it. You know, Netflix is so big, and how many people watched it, you know, in 1, 2, 3 days, not taking 8 episodes, not doing it more than most people have taken less than 3 days to watch it.
Yeah. So, you've been ruining people's lives, and now maybe you'll be saving people's lives. Who knows how things work out?
No, it would be nice. It would be great. Yeah. I hope I haven't been ruining people's lives. But yes,
well, you know,
they've got meals to
cook and children to pick up from school. But to hell with that, I've got another episode of The Stranger to watch.
That's very flattering. Thank you. Yes, I'm hoping you stay inside and watch me. Yeah.
You have a deal with Netflix for what, your next 14 novels?
Well, no, it's the ones that most of them are already out. It's the 14 of my standalone novels that are already out.
Okay.
That's whenever I write. So The Boy from the Woods, for example, which just came out today, is part of that deal as well. So we just did The Stranger. Safe is already on. The next one is going to be called The Woods, based off my novel, The Woods. And then after that is The Innocent. And what's kind of fun is each one has been done in filmed in a different country. So yeah, maybe you have to watch subtitles or dubbed, mostly I hope subtitles, but I think we're getting much, much more sophisticated about that throughout the world. So I've seen the Polish show, which is the next one, which is The Woods, and it's really great. I can't wait for people to see it.
And are you similarly involved in the casting and the screenwriting for all these?
I'm executive producer of all the shows.
Yeah.
But the English language ones, I have a much bigger role just because I speak English. I know the actors. I know the cast. I get to approve things. I help rewrite the scripts. I work very hard on the edit for The Woods. But, you know, I don't know. I don't watch every... imagine trying to dub it for me or send me subtitles. Watch every audition, like, you know, for The Stranger, I watched 300 audition tapes. So, the people on the ground there in Poland picked the cast. They ran it by me after they picked them, and I got to see some things they were in. And I proved them. They're all terrific. I can't pronounce any of their names, of course, because I'm terrible at that. You have to trust your team. That's the beauty also for me of doing television, where, you know, books, you do everything. It's kind of nice to let go a little bit. So both the Polish and the Spanish show, I have less a role, though still a role, as opposed to The Stranger.
This appetite from all these new outlets for series, especially crime series, must be fantastic for somebody like you, huh?
Well, with the, you know, if the appetite's new or not, or how much is being made, it always seems like more talk about it than there actually is going on. I don't know. I think network TV is probably making less stuff. So I don't know, but I'm certainly happy. For me, this is better. When I was growing up, and Eve growing up, when I wanted to first start looking at maybe doing, say, TV of my books, you know, they want 22 episodes. They wanted an ending of each one, you know, TV used to be. And I had really no interest in doing that. And while I've done a movie or two, I find movies for some of my books difficult because I'd rather expand it than contract it. My books have a lot of plot, a lot goes on. So to try making it an hour and 40 minutes was not really how I liked it. The idea that I can do now 6 or 8 episodes or 10 episodes, whatever I want to do, Netflix giving that freedom, it's kind of like you're putting a novel right on the screen. And that's what I really liked about working with the streaming services. Some episodes are 45 minutes, some are 52 minutes, some are 38, whatever. You know, I don't have to do it to make it work for commercials.
So is all this going to leave you time to write more?
So far, I don't know, read by more, but I find that the books and the TV, they help each other. They sort of feed off each other. So I'm naturally an introvert. I mean, I've spent most of my life alone in a room writing books. So it's kind of nice to get out a little bit and go on set or go to the table, read, meet the cast, meet the crew. But after I'm there for a few days, then I start to lose my mind. I just want to run back in that room and write. So far, I've still been able to keep up my pace of writing novels while doing all this TV stuff.
You know, given what you were saying earlier about incorporating the now in all your books, are you already thinking about how you can write about the COVID-19 epidemic?
No.
Too soon.
First of all, it's just too new. It's too soon, and this is reminding me a little bit, not to speak tragically, but reminding me a little bit of 9/11, which hit my town very hard. And after 9/11, I was just like, I'll never write about 9/11, just because it was too close, and it was not. I want people, like you say, to escape with my books, not go into it. But at the same time, 9/11 was so present in my life; it's in the background. It's like if you wrote about America in the 1970s, early 70s, the Vietnam War would be there, even if you never mentioned the Vietnam War. So, however we come out of this, I'm sure will be reflected in whatever books I'm writing.
It's pretty tempting to say that this will change everything, don't you think?
It's certainly as big a change that I've experienced in my life. I mean, I thought 9/11 was that change too, which it wasn't. So my hope, in a sense, is that like 9/11, well, nothing should be like 9/11, but that we will move on and get over it. And what, you know, at that time, the only thing I will say that I feel optimistic about, at that time, it felt like nothing was going to be okay or the same. And eventually it was. And so my hope is that that will happen here, that the changes that we make from this will be positive ones. That's my hope.
Just as a matter of interest, and given that you are an American, do you think Donald Trump's going to win a second term?
I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. It's so hard to predict. I don't know if there'll even be an election. I don't know if there'll be an honest election. I don't think a likely outcome, frankly, is a completely fair, normal American election. And Donald Trump saying, well, like every other person has lost. Well, I've lost, so I'm ready to leave. So I don't think that's a likely outcome. I don't really know where we're headed. I think we're headed into unknown territory, and this virus could change things. I don't want to scare anybody, but I don't know. I mean, as I said, man plans, God laughs. No one ever predicts anything right in the future, though. Think about it. No one predicted Donald Trump would win. No one predicted we'd all be staring at our iPhones, walking around with them. I mean, you know, you've seen a million experts. No one predicted a few years ago that a Tunisian man would set himself on fire, causing the Arab Spring, which did not end up being a spring. No one actually predicted, with all the disasters we've been looking for with climate change and all that stuff, no one saw this virus coming.
I don't think that's entirely true, though, Harlan. I think that scientists and epidemiologists have been predicting a pandemic for a long time, don't you?
Well, in that sense, yes. I guess in that sense, yes, but I'm talking about the talking heads that we see on TV, but you know, everyone's predicted something, right? Someone predicted a nuclear holocaust or fires or, you know, by now floods, whatever it is, the mainstream really, I mean, that one perhaps we could go back on, but no one probably saw how it would come, when it would come. I don't know. You know, I'm not smart enough. My job, I make stuff up for a living. So I don't really know what's going to be happening next year. And I found anybody who predicted, let's put it this way, anybody who predicted American elections last time had it wrong all the way through. I heard every expert tell me this one, that one. Hey, Joe Biden was finished 2 or 3 weeks ago. Joe Biden had no chance of winning the Democratic primary 2 or 3 weeks ago. So, you know, and I'm not a big fan of speculating. Who cares if I think right now Trump or Biden's going to win? Let's hope it's an election where those two guys are actually really running or whatever. So, you know, I'm not in the prediction game, I guess, is what I mean. And I don't trust any predictions.
It's been very good talking to you. I wish you luck. I hope you don't become too cabin crazy.
For me, it's not. I just want everybody healthy, safe and healthy. I mean, there's a fine line between social isolation and being a writer. I've been practicing for this my whole life. So I'm worried about my family and my friends and everybody like that, but I'm fine. I'll be fine.
If anybody can do it, you can. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, everybody.
That's Harlan Coben in New Jersey.